The Shadow of Death, Luke 23:33-46. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors who were hanged railed at him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we, indeed, justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in the midst. And when Jesus had cried in a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the spirit. Lord, have mercy upon us. Crucifixion was a terrible form of execution. It was a form of state execution that was reserved for only certain people, the lowest of the low. It was often reserved for people who were slaves or people who were in an inferior position who had in some ways rebelled against Roman authority. So it was a horrible form of punishment. It was designed to say, more or less, that the person who hung upon this cross was a person who had no humanity. He was considered to be a zero. There was nothing about the person that ought to be remembered, no dignity about him at all. It was designed to humiliate. It was designed for people to look and to fear and to tremble and to, again, consider the person who hung on the tree as a cipher, a zero. And yet that is the fate of Jesus. One of the questions we might want to ask ourselves this morning is simply, what happened? What happened in the few short days between Palm Sunday and Good Friday that turned the people from adoring and welcoming crowds filled with enthusiasm and expectation to a raging and resentful mob chanting, Crucify him! Crucify him! What happened? Perhaps the answer is disappointment. The people in Jerusalem simply became disappointed in Jesus. The writer Jonathan Merritt, in a recent article in Christianity Today, writes that perhaps the biggest threat to faith in God is not doubt, as some people might believe, but perhaps the greatest threat to faith is disappointment. He notes that we all have these expectations of God, that we all expect God to do something or expect God to act in a certain way on our behalf. And when God doesn't act in the way that we think God ought to act, then we become disappointed and maybe even a little angry and resentful. The writer Elie Wiesel, who was himself a Holocaust survivor, writes that at one point in one of the concentration camps that he was at, his fellow Jews decided to put God on trial. They were disappointed in what they were suffering, in the humility, in the degradation, in the fear and the debt that they were suffering, and so they decided to put God on trial. And they concluded at the end of the trial that God was indeed guilty. Guilty of not saving them. Guilty of not looking after them, not taking care of them. And so in their great disappointment, they had found God guilty. I think that that is true with many of us today as well. Someone noticed that much of our religion in the United States today is therapeutic. We have this therapeutic understanding of God, where God's job is basically to look after us. God's job is to comfort us when we are afflicted, to soothe us when we have scrapes and bruises, to console us when we fall down. Basically to make sure that our lives turn out all right without any major hitches. But every now and then life throws a curveball our way. Maybe we learn of a devastating disease. Maybe we experience a breakup of an important relationship. Maybe we find ourselves without any kinds of financial security. And in the midst of that, one of the questions that we begin to ask is, where is God? Why is God allowing this to happen? Why isn't God saving me from this? And so we become a little disappointed at God, maybe even a little resentful. The Gospels tell us that Jesus engenders a sense of disappointment early on in his career, and it comes from John the Baptist, his cousin John, who has correctly identified Jesus as the Lamb of God, the one who will take away the sins of the world. John, the one who baptized Jesus. It is John, when he is in prison, who sends a message to Jesus asking, are you the one? Are you the one who we've been waiting for? Are you the one to save us, or do we look for another? And Jesus replied, go back and tell John what you see, how the lame are walking, how the blind see, and how the poor have good news preached to them. We don't know if that answer mollified John or not. John had these expectations of Jesus. He had these big expectations that Jesus would be the one who would save Israel. And that's the expectations that the people of Jerusalem had on that first Palm Sunday. They had certain expectations they wanted the Messiah to fulfill. Certain expectations that they wanted Jesus to live out. They were expecting a God in their own image. They were looking for a Messiah that would kick a little bit of butt, a Messiah who would defeat their enemies, who would send the Romans packing, who would restore the kingdom to Israel, who would make Israel great again. And when Jesus didn't do any of that, they became disappointed, resentful, angry. One of the things that always intrigues me whenever I read the crucifixion narrative is how cynical everyone is, especially Pilate. Pilate comes before the crowd, and he knows that Jesus doesn't represent the kind of threat that everyone else thinks that Jesus represents. But Pilate is as cynical as they come. He is a man only interested in power, and he knows how to rile up the base. And so when it's all over, the crowds are chanting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Because they are angry and resentful and disappointed. And when we're angry and resentful and disappointed, we get mean-spirited. And so Jesus is put on trial. It's interesting that people are expecting one kind of God, and Jesus comes to show them another. People are wanting a God made in their own image, and Jesus comes to show them the very nature and the heart of God. It is a God of love instead of a God of hatred. It is a God of service instead of a God who demands to be served. It is a God of inclusion instead of exclusion. It is a God who cares every bit as much about the enemy as God cares about those who consider themselves to be the chosen. But that's not the kind of God that we want. And so we cry, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" We don't want this kind of Savior. We don't want this kind of God. We don't want a loving God. Crucify him. And so Jesus is put on trial, and he is hung on the cross. The Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that the crowd should have been praising, he is hung on a cross as a mere cipher, as a zero for everyone to look and gawk at and say, "He is nothing." And while he hangs on the cross, he is mocked. "You saved others," you say. "Why don't you save yourself? If you are the Savior, why don't you save us and save yourself?" And here's the irony, that even as Jesus was dying, he was saving us. Someone said that what Jesus came to do was to save us from our illusions. He comes to disillusion us. I thought that was weird when I first heard it, but Jesus came to disillusion us. You know, disillusion has a bad connotation, but we have these illusions. We often have illusions about ourselves, illusions about our goodness, even illusions about God. That God exists primarily to do our own bidding. But Jesus comes to disillusion us. He comes to show us that God doesn't come to give us the kind of Savior that we want, but he comes to give us the kind of Savior that we need. He comes to show us the heart of God. But we will have none of it. We don't want a God of love. We don't want a God who loves our enemies every bit as he loves us. We don't want a merciful God. We want a vengeful God. We want a judgmental God. We want a God that will get our enemies and a God that will save us in the way that we think we ought to be saved. And so we crucify Jesus. We nail him to a cross. And there he says, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them because they don't know. They have no idea what they need. No idea what they are doing. Forgive them.